Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode. Today, I have my good friend, Bijol, joining us, and she is a branding expert. I first met Bijol in a mastermind, and we were fast friends, and we both have high energy. We both like to talk a lot. We both are extroverts, and we learned really quickly that we shared a lot of things in common, and the more I got to know her, the more I realized she just has this unique perspective on branding, and she helps people find their unique voice and help dial in their messaging. So I was like, who better to bring on the podcast than to help you guys really figure out what it is you're saying, who should be listening, and that sort of thing. So thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I love that intro. Thanks for having me, Stephanie. The feeling is mutual. I feel like I met you and it was just like two sisters and maybe a glass of wine, and we were just like snuggled up, like ready to conquer the world. So yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you. So what do you think, like for the general population, what do you think some misconceptions are about branding?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially from like the practitioner point of view, I think the biggest myth about branding is that it mostly has to do with your logo and your colors. And like, do these colors represent me? What does blue mean? And it's like the most silly thing in the world. Like if blue really meant trust, then everyone would have a blue logo because brand builds trust and trust is the reason people buy. So that's silly, right? We've got logos that are yellow and red and purple and all of these things. So I think number one is that color psychology is made up just like horoscopes are. So I get it. I'm a Taurus. I get the bull thing, but I'm not like a Taurus every day according to like what's being published on the internet. So you can't put people into categories like horoscopes. You also cannot put logos and colors into categories. So I think people get that really confused.
So what does branding mean to you particularly?
So I'll answer that in like two ways. Here's the simplest way to at least start to conceptualize it. It's a famous quote by Jeff Bezos. It's branding is what people say about you when you leave the room. I'll repeat that again. Branding is what people say about you when you leave the room. So what that actually means in the deeper context of it, obviously, clearly, it's not a logo, right? So we got that down. Doesn't matter if you're blue or red or whatevs. What matters is what is the perception that people carry in their mind about you or a brand? So just imagine for a second, everyone who's listening, like imagine Coca-Cola, right? Or imagine a Coke. And just for funsies sake, I have one place that only delivers Pepsis. And by the way, I always feel robbed when I see this can. Like, I am so cheating on Coke. So when you ask for, let's say you drink brown colas, you say, can I get a Coke? Uh-huh. Or you're like, oh, do you have a Q-tip? And so those are categories of products that own the entire category. Kleenex is another one of them. So that's an idea of understanding that, oh my God, that brand, the perception people hold in their mind, the entire category is called by the brand's actual name, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So I think that when you're thinking about how your branding works and whether it's your personal brand, and people who are watching and listening to your podcast are practitioners. And as being a health practitioner, your personal brand is actually the number one most important in terms of all of the different professions out there. People care about their doctors and what their personal brands are. And the reason for that is because they're trusting you with their health and their body.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought that up because that was one question I want to ask is like, what's the difference between personal brand and business brand and what should they be focusing on? And like, where do you see that headed?
Yeah, totally. It's a great question. So it's always a hybrid. So if you're happening to watch the video, you should, because me and Stephanie look cute. But it's a hybrid, and it's always the personal brand of the main physician. So if you're somebody and you have a practice and you have, you know, maybe multiple associate doctors, they're still going to have like some play, and there's ways to actually design the brand strategy to make sure that they're getting some spotlight and things like that. But as the main founding physician, it's going to be your personal brand that overlaps your business brand. Mm-hmm. To the extent of the overlap is like, we want to get you to the point where at first it's 100% overlap. There's almost like no Venn diagram. And we want to start to slowly pull out the personal brand. So 80% personal, 20% business. And then we're bringing it out slowly and slowly. But you have to have a brand strategy in place that your associate doctors know what the actual business brand is supposed to live by. So they know how they're supposed to behave underneath the umbrella that's your brand, because they can't be you. And so that helps to understand that you, as the founder, you're going to set the tone, but other people have to be able to replicate it.
I love that. And one of the things that I work with my clients is like, they build a personality driven practice because they're like, I don't care. I just want to get people in the door. Let me showcase who I am and what I do. And then they have a hard time when they bring on that associate, because it's like, oh no, I just want to see you. And it's like, no, wait, I brought on this other person. They're amazing too. And so it's like some of the work that I you're just nailing it, because it's like, hey, it's okay if you have a personality driven practice and that's how you build the brand, but you can't duplicate that, right? Your associate can't come in and fill in if it's all about you. So you have to actually build this other brand outside of yourself that has a set of values, that has the ways that you do things, so that when you're building your team and bringing on other people, it's like, yeah, we all reflect the main brand.
Yes, exactly. That's like perfectly spoken. And it also creates a lot of friction between the main physician who brought in the associate doctor of like, I don't know why you can't just do this. I mean, how many times have you guys been guilty of like, I don't get it. I don't know why she won't show up and just post her reels on Instagram. I mean, I built this practice brick by brick by brick. It's not like we had this reputation 10 years ago. No one taught me how to do this. And we forget that we were not riding anyone else's coattails, that there was a blank canvas for us. But when we're bringing on someone else, in the case of, you know, practitioners, you're bringing on an associate, and they have to follow a set of guidelines. And yet, while they can see what you're doing, they can't be you. So it's like looking for those strategies, opportunities, and what I call brand guidelines. There needs to be a clear set of brand guidelines, like you said, Steph, that show what is our mission, what's our vision, our core behaviors, what's our messaging, what is our tone of voice, how are we supposed to sound, what is this brand all about, what are we curating in terms of, this is what people should be saying about us in our reputation, this is what people should say in our reviews. It's like, do you have that level of detail? Do you have that level of clarity when it comes to your messaging?
I love that. And tone of voice, brand guidelines, all of that. I think the tone of voice piece is so huge, you know, and even for my personal brand, we worked on that some together, because it was like, hey, I'm not really trying to be for everybody. I want to be for this certain person. Yep. And so if they're trying to find the tone of voice and they're like, I don't know, I just post that I help moms, like, how would you suggest that they start to figure that out?
Yeah. Well, you can go to our website. We have a free brand tone of voice quiz. So you can literally take it and you'll get a report and it'll like break it down who you actually are. So that's like the first step to at least get some sense of who you're supposed to be. So we'll put that into the show notes and you can go check that out. An easy way to think about it though, in addition to that free resource, is a lot of times practitioners in specific are known to take on this, like, I'm being professional because I'm a health professional and people need to trust me because I'm working on their body. I'm working with them on their health. They're telling me very private and sensitive things. And I was actually just coaching a nurse injector on this, who has a really strong personal brand and she's building it up together. And she was so scared to be her authentic self because she thought her momming, raw, hilarious, funny side, that she would end up coming across like she's not like really highly educated and trained, that she isn't an absolute world-class injector in terms of what her unique methodology is, and that straight up, that she's not smart. Mm-hmm. She was worried that if she came across casual or funny, that people would judge her as not being smart. What she didn't realize is, as she's been taking on more of her own authentic voice and owning that empowered voice, as I like to call it, people are just more and more and more attracted to the brand because that energy just ends up spreading. And at the end of the day, when people get attached to you as being their practitioner, they think of you as like a close friend. Like you're touching their body. You're a part of their space. They're telling you stuff that they haven't told anybody. You know yep. that.
Yep. I love that. Yeah. And that was one thing for me and that I realized a few years ago is I'm like, there's no personality shining through a lot of these practitioners' yeah. businesses because it's like, hey, we help you with this. Come and help us. And people don't buy. Emotions buy, right? And so if yeah. they can feel emotionally connected to you and they could see themselves in you and they're like, oh, she just totally gets me. And you can create that still through a professional look. I'm not saying you got to post crazy things on your business page, but yeah. you can do it in a way that's still classy and authentic to who you are. And I couldn't agree more. Like one of the things that I love to say is your authenticity creates more abundance. And so whatever abundance looks like to you, but the more you're yourself, the more of everything you desire, you're able to attract to yourself. And brand messaging is like the forefront of that, essentially.
100%. Yeah, I love that. Your authenticity is what creates abundance. And a lot of times practitioners are holding themselves back because totally. They don't know where to toe the line between what's professional and not. And so just to define that, what Stephanie, I think you mean is like, you don't need crazy drunken pictures of you in yeah. a half bikini off of an island in Greek. Like, that's not what we're looking for.
No.
Girl, I know your 20s were good, but we're not looking for that. But you in sweats holding your kid and it's a Sunday and you've got messy hair bun going on and you're like, is this real life right now? I can't believe my kid's going to kindergarten, you know, whatever it is. That is like, you're creating a friendship and you're creating a kinship. And, you know, with, I know we're not going here, but we're going to go here. Speaking of the opposite of authenticity, it also starts with an A. And I am just like, I'm on certain terms with it. Do you know what I'm about to say?
No.
AI, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All the people out there who are like, you can use AI and train it on your brand voice. No, you cannot. False. Mm-hmm. Falsity, false. No, you can't train someone on your brand voice when you don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a machine. It's going to sound like a machine. And mm-hmm. so people are like resorting to tools like ChatGPT, and there's a place for that. There's a place for it. It's a tool, but it's not in replacement and is creating inauthenticity. So I think the need to be able to tie back into like, what is your voice? Who are you for real? That's what ends up creating the attraction. Because when we say not professional, I think that's all it is. Like, don't show random, illegal, unethical stuff.
Yeah.
Besides that, yes, show pictures of your kids. Yes, show people pictures of your spouse. Yes, you can be on date night. Yes, we want to see the kids. Yes, you can be casually dressed. If cussing is a part of who you are and your people love it, if you do it in your practice, you should do it on social.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it in your practice, you should do it on social. Stop hiding and allow the rest of the world, because those people are your prospects waiting to meet you so they can get away from the next white coat that's up in their face mm-hmm. acting sterile, so they can have a meaningful and authentic connection with someone when they go in for their visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. One of the things too that you had said to me back when we first met, it was like, if you're having a hard time finding your voice, you're not practicing it enough. I know I have some clients that just, for whatever reason, they don't want to showcase themselves on social media. And so like, we have to work through what marketing and branding looks like if they're not showing up on social media, you know, but for yeah. those that are, you get to practice what you sound like and how you talk about things and the things that you believe in. And I even remember like a few of the posts that I did when I was just testing my brand voice and figuring out like, what is it that I'm speaking about? When I did one that just like hit and I didn't give two shits who liked it, I didn't care if nobody liked it. And it was just like, this is how I feel. And this is honestly how I talk. This is how I coach. This is how
I remember that one. It's so good. I remember that one.
And people were like, holy shit, this has never sounded more like you. Like, yes, they were going nuts. And I was like, wow, this is what it's like to find your brand voice. But it's okay to practice. And it's okay to throw things out there that just don't hit while you're trying to figure out, how do I like to sound? How do I want to present myself?
100%. You said that so well. It's amazing. I kind of remember when you did that post too. And I remember the outfit that you have on in the picture. And the reason is that when you show up like that and it's super authentic and like you're using that empowered voice, as I like to say, is you give permission to other people for them to own who they are. That's totally really what it is. That energy feels exciting. It feels liberating. It feels freeing. Like, wait a second. I'm allowed to be me. I'm allowed to drop an F-bomb. And yet I'm like the smartest person in any 50-mile radius of where we are. And you know I'm better than anybody. Yes, absolutely. And then you end up getting patients that you love. I mean, no surprise. You end up getting patients who you love because they're echoing your brand voice. They love your core values and they love your energy. So suddenly the visit feels like hanging with a friend and you're still supporting people in their health and wellness goals. And the other crazy thing about it is, as a practitioner, I'm not one, but as you guys are, there's always a sense of caring about the patient first and their best well-being for their health and wellness so they can live their most fulfilled life. Like, that is a sentiment that is true and true and true across the board, right? The Hippocratic oath and those type of things. Well, in caring about your patients so deeply and wanting the best for them, guess what? When you've got like bestie vibes, or they trust you and they think of you as somebody, as a close associate or a friend or someone that they can say things to, now they're suddenly having those really hard health conversations that they may not be willing to check or ask anyone else about, potentially a lump or a spot on the skin, something that they've noticed, but they don't know who to tell. You become the first person that they're willing to open up about that in their most scary moments.
And what ultimately happens is like their healing journey is better, right? The more that they feel connected to you, the better they're receptive to the care that you're giving and the deeper their healing happens. I love that you mentioned that. Let's talk a little bit about what it looks like. So we said like, hey, your branding for your personal and your business should overlap in a sense, but it's okay for them to also have some autonomy from one another. What is it that you think we should be doing, not only on social, but maybe in our offices as the leaders of our teams, to get our teams on board with our brand?
A great question. So ideally, you already have your brand at least mapped out to some degree, where you have a set of brand guidelines. And what that would include is that you have a mission statement that you as the founder can actually recite. Like, it's not something that you did on a worksheet 3 years ago, because you join someone's mastermind and they're like, yeah, we do branding on, yeah, there's a free worksheet, you should knock it out. And then people tell me they have a mission or vision statement. And I'm like, awesome, what is it? And they're like, oh yeah, no, it's something around caring about patients. And I'm like, okay, cool, that's really awesome. I love how different that is. And it's like, so you need a mission statement that is clear, concise, and repeatable. You need a vision statement that is the same, and those two things are different from one another. A mission is about the what, the who, and the how you do something. It's why the business runs. The vision is the 30,000 foot North Star of like, why are you even in existence? It's a much more loftier goal. There's no numbers. It's never achievable. That's what in a really short summary. It's got your core values in there. We actually call them core behaviors because we like to go really detailed with it. We don't like vague stuff like, I believe in integrity and trust. And it's like, so do you and Bank of America. I guess you guys are the same. Like, you must be exactly the same. So, but whatever you do have, you want the core values in there too. And then you want to have a set of like communication. You want to say, this is our messaging. If you have a positioning statement, that'd be awesome, of why you're different or a differentiator. Why are we different? People get, bless you, people get asked that all the time. Why is your practice different? Mm-hmm. Or they're wondering it, but you're not communicating it. So just imagine yourself as the shopper. When you're looking around, you're looking for what do friends recommend. You're then going to people's socials. You might go to people's websites. You might be looking at reviews. You then might go test a place out. And what the person, the prospect is looking for, or the lead, is I wonder why they're different and I wonder if I'm going to like it or not. I wonder if they're going to get me. But when we don't communicate outwardly with why are we different in a compelling way and everyone's saying the same thing, we end up with lame stuff like, well, we just have the highest reviews in the area, or people just love us. And it's very vague in general. And anybody, even the guy across the street, can tell you the same thing.
Yeah. There's no differentiation there. There's no unique selling point. And that's one of the things too, that I think if it is a profession, you're like, oh, well, we help people like that with these sort of things. It's like, well, the whole profession does. What makes you different? You know?
Exactly. And the minute you say that, they feel a little bit on guard of like, oh yeah, that's true. And I know, and this is really lame. Uh-huh. And they'll admit it's really lame. But to tactically go a step deeper is having that set of brand guidelines or even a brand sheet, could be a one pager, but you want to review that with your team in an all team meeting on a once a week basis. So when it comes specifically to core values, so let's just pretend this is compassionate accountability. That's one of ours. You want to be able to highlight what compassionate accountability means on a weekly basis. So you pick one core value, you highlight it, and then you might say, hey, I'm really excited because like Sharon on the team, she knocked out compassion and accountability because when she did this specifically to help out that patient, she went above and beyond. And that is what we are all about at so-and-so practice. And so then we're like, kudos, we're high-fiving, people are celebrating. Sharon's like, yeah, that's right. That's me. That's who I am. And so it's an opportunity to celebrate wins and to even promote people on their adherence to the core values. It's also an opportunity to exit people out of potentially their seats or the practice if they're not adhering to the values that you actually set. So you just want to make sure that as the founder, you're saying that mission statement, you're repeating the vision, you're giving them tactical, tangible examples of what happened that day that makes sense with what you guys believe in as a practice.
I love that. And I can think of how much I've dropped the ball on this as the leader, because I'm just thinking of one of our core values is a going above and beyond. We are just not here to deliver the chiropractic adjustment. We are here to support moms in all stages of motherhood. So one of the things is you will see one of my assistants carrying out a baby carriage to the car if a mom has two children. That's going above and beyond. But as the leader, I haven't been kudoing them and high-fiving them and doing whatever else. So like, this is a great reminder for me. Shit, yeah. If they're doing the things that our brand was built upon, they still need that recognition from me as the leader and being like, you guys are crushing it at X, Y, and Z, which is what's going to carry the brand when I'm not there.
I love, first of all, I just got chills because that is like the best core value. And I'd call that a core behavior because you're not just a value, could just be like caring. But when you say it the way that you did, going above and beyond, it makes it a behavior. And now people know what to do. Mm-hmm. But Stephanie, what you're talking about is so common as the owner. You were probably really hype about it when it was new. And mm-hmm. you're a visionary and you forgot about it and you got used to it. But I'd say it's awesome that you're recognizing there's an opportunity to like high five, because what gets celebrated gets replicated totally. In your culture. But the other thing that could be an awesome ninja move, because you're in scale mode of where you're at with your practices, is getting the people that are on the team and the associate doctors to do it with each other. Mm-hmm. So if the associate doctors and the staff can take the place of you and make sure that they know to celebrate and call up every time somebody's doing something really well that aligns with it, it starts to become a practice. And so that's just something that happens on a weekly basis. And we have, particularly for us, we have a Slack channel in that we call WINS. Mm-hmm. Whatever way that you guys communicate, whatever system you use, there's a way to just make sure that people can quickly high five and celebrate each other.
I love that. And I think for anybody listening, there's so much to focus on as the business owner and the one in charge of these big teams or little teams, whatever size your team is, that maybe not often are they celebrating the wins. Maybe not often are they reviewing their brand guidelines or their core behaviors. I love that versus core values. It's funny. Core values feels like a little stagnant to me. And I'm like, it feels like kind of like that worksheet that you said, it's like, I have to do it. But core behavior, when you said that, my mind automatically thought of like us carrying out that baby for that mom, us going and helping the mom in the bathroom with the changing table if she's like flustered. You know, I can think of core behaviors versus core values. So I think that's so huge, because a lot of us who are building these brick and mortar practices and trying to create these teams, we have an idea of how we want our culture to be and to feel. And that's a lot more easy maybe to communicate. Whereas if they were just sitting down and working on some of these things that you've encouraged them to do, they could be stuck. No, think about the experience you're delivering. And that's probably where your core values lay.
Yep. I love the distinction and the way you kind of drove that home too. And I think one step to take it further is if you are still blank and you're like, well, we'll do what Stephanie does, you know, which is what happens when you're without ideas. It's fine if that's truly you. and that makes sense, you know, go for it. I don't think any mom will be upset at that. But another way to think about this tactically, so you can kind of get it done and you're getting real applicable and actionable advice from this podcast, is that you can also look and just take it as like a student approach or a study approach. Anytime you visit a doctor or any place that you're getting a treatment, I don't care if you're getting your hair done, getting your nails done, what you're getting a haircut, whatever, you're at the grocery store, you know, whatever it is, any place that you might be getting service, or you might be at the valet, or I'm at Starbucks on the daily. Like, I know how I like to be treated. Like, I love when people know my name, you know, I kind of like need to be known a little bit, like, but I'm also endearing in that way. And when I don't know their name, they're like, oh, you're Bijal. And I'll be like, well, who are you? What's up, Joe? You're going to love this location. So it's like, you're leaving yourself clues of how you like to be treated when you're getting services from other people. So it's a really easy way. If you can start to study that, you'll have at least three things that you can go off of. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be perfect. Also, if you're just starting out or you have a million things to do, don't overcomplicate it. It's better to have three than to have nothing at all because you're waiting to have a perfect 10.
Yeah, I love that. Simplicity is key to just getting started. Like, don't overcomplicate it. Just get started.
Yep.
As we're wrapping up here, you have so much genius that you can share. And that's one of the things you and I went back and forth about is I'm like, Bijal, yes, you're a branding expert, but I feel like that doesn't even encompass everything that you're capable of teaching others. What is just some like basic entrepreneur advice that you have learned in your journey? I mean, I know that we were both already in our entrepreneur journeys when we met. And so what's just something that has really changed the game for you in building a business and maybe one of your biggest takeaways that you could share with the audience?
Oh my God. I'm so upset. Biggest takeaways make me like so nervous. I want like seven.
Biggest takeaway. It could just be a takeaway or a lesson that you've learned.
Okay. I'm probably like showing my cards right now. I would say this. I'm just going to speak through where I am at right now in my season. And I like to speak life into people because I am so grateful that people take the time to speak life into me. And I just want you to know that if any of you have kids out there, it's really similar. You're never really ready. So you might as well do it anyway. And entrepreneurship and all the mini steps it takes of like, am I ready to hire my first associate doctor? Am I ready to open my second location? Am I ready for branding? Am I ready to hire Stephanie and the wealthy practitioner so I can get an understanding of what am I supposed to actually do? How can I build and scale this business up? Because I'm totally lost. Anytime you have those questions of that, am I ready yet? And you're starting to go down the thinking path of self-doubt, I just want to hear my words that you were and you are ready. And the only way that you can be more ready is by already doing it and laughing through any of the mistakes and failures you have, because that's what's going to make you ready. And I remember spending a lot of time, a lot of years, decades, standing behind the finish line, contemplating, am I worthy enough? Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I pretty enough? Do I deserve this? And I just want to encourage you that get help from people like Stephanie if you need it and that you're thinking about it. Don't wait, but you are ready.
You are ready. And there's never a better time than now, right? To do anything, to build the life that you want to build, there's never a better time than to get started today. And there are so many resources out there to help support your journey. And that's what I love about us, Bijal, honestly, is just like we're women that are doing it and we're showing up and we're making mistakes because mistakes are going to happen, right? But we're just committed to taking it on the chin and learning how to do it better next time. And so there's plenty of resources out there to support everybody on their entrepreneurship journey. But if they want to be connected with you and maybe like they should definitely all do that quiz. I think I did that quiz actually, or it was telling me what you probably have more than one quiz. I definitely have done at least one of your quizzes. And it was so helpful and so insightful just to learning about me. But how else could they connect with you?
Yeah, they can find me on Facebook. It's Bijal, Bijal.launch. So you can find me on there. That's my most active platform. We have a podcast as well. It's called Own Your Brand. Really short tidbits, like 5, 7, 9 minutes of just something that you can apply and understand and tactical. So we just launched that. And then we have our website. You can go check out more information there and you can see the rest of our socials. And that's www.welaunch.design.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me and pouring into my crew today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This was so fun, but I'm not surprised because that is authentically who you are.
Oh, thank you. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.